Well, as we know, the crisis in the beef industry continues this morning, with many farmers continuing to picket outside processing factories across the country. The farmers are demanding an increase in the base price per kilo offered for the beef they produce. They argue that the price has dropped from €4 per kilo last year to €3.45 a day. Meanwhile, it's been confirmed that 355 workers have been temporarily laid off at the ABP Meats plant in Kerry in County Tipperary as the blockades continue. On the line now, Pat McDonough, Chief Executive of Supermax. Also on the line, Terry Bryan, Industrial Organiser for the Agri-Foods section with SIPTU. And with me in studio, Cormac Healy, Senior Director of Meat Industry Ireland. Thank you all indeed for joining us. If I can go to you first, Terry Bryan, this latest layoff situation that's arisen in Kerry, what more can you tell me about it? How long is it likely to last? Do you have you any sense?
Well, we don't know, Sean, and thank you for having me on. But look, it's just one in a series now of layoffs. It isn't just 350 workers. If you think of this from an industry perspective, we have confirmed numbers of 6,000 people currently on layoff. There was a slight change yesterday where we had hoped people would get back to work following the conclusion of the talks on Sunday evening. There was what appeared to be a bit of a reprieve. We had slaughtering take place in one or two plants that I'm aware of, and people were back to work. It looked positive. And then by mid-morning yesterday, that appeared to have changed. And I know that those factories where our members had gone back to work, they were laid off again today.
And what is your understanding about the level of slaughtering that's going on across the country? Is it at 20%? Is it higher or lower than that?
I think it's actually lower than that. My understanding is from dealing with our reps on the ground is that there is no processing taking place from the perspective of slaughtering. What is happening is we have members in plants which would be secondary processors, which is dealing with the cut meat after the carcass. And there is still some work being carried out in those plants.
And you make the point to think that many of the workers who are being laid off will not automatically be entitled to social welfare payments. Why so?
Yeah, we have a difficulty in the industry. Ironically enough, just a couple of months ago, late last year, we had the industry not being able to recruit people to work in the industry from EU or even from the Irish workforce. And the industry went and secured permits, work permits for people from non-EU countries. So at the moment, for example, Sean, we have people from China working in some of the meat plants. We have people from the Ukraine and Brazil. And those people came here in a very short, just relatively recently, a number of them. They wouldn't have sufficient contributions paid to social welfare. And also, it is our understanding that the work permit arrangement doesn't allow them to make a claim on social welfare. Now, we have been in contact with the Department of Social Protection in relation to that, and they're telling us that the worker should make a claim anyway if they've been laid off. But the reality is that, sure, if they have not got enough of social welfare contributions, if they make a claim, it's not going to be processed anyway quickly for them. And what are these people to survive on in the meantime?
And our workers, including your members, how concerned are they that these layoffs could be more than temporary, that they mightn't have a job to return to?
Our members, and indeed ourselves as trade union representatives across the sector, are extremely worried. I heard the minister this morning, Sean, talk about self-harming the industry. This industry is at risk of self-destruction, to be honest with you. We need, at this point in time, and I'm not coming on here this morning, Sean, to talk about the agreement that was hammered out on Sunday between the farm organisations and the processors. That's for them to debate and consider that. But what we are certainly calling for is what needs to happen here is there needs to be calm heads. There needs to be cool heads at the moment. People need to consider the proposals in detail. Let's not harm the industry and let's get it back working. Our members are victims in this at the moment. I know they feel that no one is considering them in this. I know that they are finding it extremely difficult to survive at the moment. you have to bear in mind, Sean, that the layoffs had commenced back in July. And, you know, initially we had people, you know, using up annual leave to offset temporary layoff. There was alternative work found for them on some in some plants and on some occasions. But that's all dried up now. And people are just now having to survive on social welfare if they can get it. And we as a union are calling on the government to establish an additional support fund for workers who are laid off at this time. And we believe that that fund should be contributed to by the employers.
How concerned are you that even though the three members who were representing the Independent Farmers of Ireland gave an assurance at the meeting, at the conclusion of the meeting facilitated by the Minister Michael Creed on Sunday, that they would go out and try to sell what was agreed at the factory gates, that they have just simply failed? The farmers just don't think there's enough there for them, and they don't trust the factories.
Well, to be fair, Sean, I think that's a question for the independent farmers group themselves to answer to you in respect to that. If you consider ourselves as a trade union, and indeed the trade union movement, when we would enter into negotiations and conclude those negotiations, we would come away from talks generally and give our members time to consider the proposals. That's why this morning we're calling for people to consider the proposals in detail. You know, as I say, it's a time for cool heads and maybe warm hearts at this stage, given that the ploughing has commenced. People need to consider the proposals in detail. They are very detailed proposals. They're comprehensive. And like in all negotiations, you don't get everything you want. So maybe people need to take away the proposals, consider them in detail, and make a rational decision on those proposals.
Okay.
We appreciate that the farming community have endeavoured to have their voice heard. We appreciate that. I think everybody knows that the farmers are not getting a fair price for their cattle. Everyone understands that. However, continued protests and continued legal action against farmers is not going to solve this. What needs to solve, what I believe will bring a resolution to this, is calm consideration of the proposals, and if need be, further talks.
Okay, thank you indeed for joining us. That's Terry Bryan, SIPTU Industrial Organiser for Agri-Foods. Pat McDonough, Chief Executive of Supermax, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, it's well known that your business relies heavily on the steady supply of beef to your restaurant. So, and also, you're quite sympathetic to the farmers and their situation in a comment you made last week. But the question now is how to get out of the stalemate that's there.
Well, first of all, Sean, I suppose family farms under probably 100 acres are under threat. And their future is under threat, you know, across the board, in no matter what part of the country they're in. And there is a danger that there will be an exodus because if a farmer isn't making profit, which they're not at the moment in that type of farm, then he can survive. Because it's a costly business to be in. You know, there's the cost of stock, etc., the cost of feed, the cost of labour, which is a big, big part of it, and the cost of doing business. You know, there's so much regulation, etc. there. So, really, I can understand these farmers at the moment because their future, their life, livelihoods are under threat. So when you understand that, you can appreciate why they are so vociferous, I suppose, at the moment. Having said all that, I would agree with Terry insofar as calm heads are needed at this stage. And, you know, the Ireland is well known across the world for the quality of its food. And we do have a premium product, and we should be getting a premium price for it right across the world, because it is regarded as the best food in the world. So, as I say, calm heads are needed. Compromise kind of is needed in a situation because you're not going to get everything you want in negotiations situation like this. So you have to have a bit of give and take.
Yes, but the key problem, as we've been hearing it from the farmers on the picket lines, is they are stuck on a low price, a low base price. I mean, and the government is saying it can't do anything to change that, and that is just something that couldn't be addressed in the talk. So how to get around that particular obstacle?
Well, you know, as I said, if the farmers aren't making money, they won't survive in the first place. And then what you'll have is either factory farms or feedlots or whatever it is, with farms in excess of probably 1,000 acres and one farmer maybe looking after it or whatever. So it depends on what we want. Are we, you know, certainly, as I say, we haven't seen a reduction in price on the beef in the last 12 or 18 months. So the prices haven't come down to the, and I don't think they have come down in the supermarkets or in the butchers for that matter either. So, but I suppose the question is, are people prepared to pay an extra few cents or whatever it is for beef? Then certainly I would, because I think, you know, the family farm is key to the quality of food in Ireland. And together with Borbia, they've done a fantastic job, as I say, in selling it throughout the world. So, you know, farmers, if they can't make money, is a threat in the future that why would their sons or daughters get involved in farming if they're not making money? They won't, because it's a 7-day-week job. So it's not going to be sustainable for the future.
And when you say you'd be prepared to pay a bit more, but are you buying from the farmers and having it processed on your behalf, or are you just buying from the factories?
No, I'm buying from the producer, or from the processor, I suppose you could say. And then we're buying from other different companies or suppliers, whether it's in the hotel business or the fast food business or whatever. You know, so we don't deal directly with the farmers. We deal with the burger makers or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but have you conveyed your concerns to the processors if you feel that the smaller family farm is under threat?
Oh, I have. I've discussed it with them on a few occasions. Not necessarily very often, but on a few occasions. Actually, we've discussed it quite recently in relation to what's going to be the outcome of it, because there is a threat, obviously, to supply. And I'm here in the Clayton Hotel this morning, and my manager tells me here there is a threat to the supply of beef going in the next couple of weeks, because you know, they're just if the factories are closed, obviously they can't get beef, etc. So that's going to have a knock-on effect, and that's a big danger as well, because, you know, we have to be very careful here. We don't do damage to the industry as a whole. And I think, as Terry says, you know, it's difficult to acquire a market for anything across the globe. So the danger of it is, if you lose that market for a while, somebody else fills it in for you, and therefore it's that much more difficult to regain it back again. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't do long-term damage.
But again, the minister in his open letter to farmers last night, just to go back on that point, Pat McDonough, where he says, many of you are simply looking for a price increase. Please understand this is something we could not legally discuss.
Well, you know, as I said before, you know, you have to discuss what's it all about at the end of the day, except price. So, like, going into negotiations prior to this, without having price on the table was somewhat futile. So you're going to have to negotiate price. Now, as I say, there should be a cooling off period and go back again and see what else can be done. But then, to be fair to the processors, they're in a competitive situation as well. And if they can buy beef or whatever at 250 a kilo in Poland or wherever else, or Brazil or whatever else, then it's a world market you're involved in now. So you have to be, as I say, you have to reach a compromise. Yes, we do have the best beef in the world, I think, but unless you're competitive as well, as a reasonably competitive, then you're going to lose that business.
Okay, Pat McDonough, Chief Executive of Supermax, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and enjoy your trip to the ploughing when you get along there. Cormac Healy, good morning to you. You, as I say, Senior Director with Meat Industry Ireland. Is the situation as bad as ever? Is it almost as though the weekend talks hadn't taken place?
Good morning, Sean. I hope that's not the case. And I think the overwhelming message and commentary this morning and with your two previous contributors, Pat and Terry, is that we do need to end this now. We do need to have calm. We do need to give the agreement that was reached at the weekend a chance and get back to normal processing. There are farmers there with a lot of cattle that need to be sold at this stage. And as Terry said, there are employees that are caught in this as well. And we have reached, I mean, the industry has spent the time over the weekend under the auspices of the minister, with the farming organisations. A deal has been thrashed out to address many of the asks that were raised and put forward. And the final proposal put forward at the end of those negotiations was a combination of the thoughts of the seven farm organisations that were there. And it was responded to, and many of the things that have been asked for have been dealt with, but price couldn't be discussed. It's a competition issue in terms of going into that kind of a scenario and discussing it. But equally, I would say, and I think Pat touched on it too, there is a very competitive environment there. The price is determined by the market, and that's one of the challenges. We are doing all of this, and probably the root cause of why we're here is a depressed EU market. And you know, this time last year, yes, the price was €4 per kilo. It is 3.60 today. It is down, but
even
it is down in other markets.
He hasn't seen any sign of reduction as he's being supplied.
Well, I don't know Pat's particular arrangements or dealings, but I mean, I'm sure Pat is not buying outside of the market rate, but the market across Europe, and we export 90% of what we produce. I think it's a well quoted figure at this stage. So we are dependent on what's happening across a range of
farmers
markets.
The farmers who are wary of standing down the pickets, they see no long term future for themselves. They are effectively despairing. I mean, like, what hope can you offer them?
Well, certainly, I mean, when the market environment, I mean, we have to accept, Sean, that we have had a challenging EU market environment over the last number of months, and it has given rise to price falls, not just in Ireland, but our main market, the UK, is back by 12% on this time last year. We're back 10%. It is an issue that's there in the market at the moment. But when the market is there, when the price is there, it is paid. We have been at €4 and not so many months ago. But the one fear that where we're at now at this stage is that we have built up a good customer base. We have a good reputation, and producers produce good product, and we have a good Irish beef product. But we're now heading into the third week in this current phase of protest where suppliers, our customers, have not been supplied. We are doing damage to ourselves in the market. Gone elsewhere.
Are you aware of contracts that have been lost?
I am aware. I mean, and individual members have indicated to us that customers have had to make the decision to say, look, we're not sure that you will have it. We've said we will try to have it. We will try to get the product, but they have made decisions because it is a fresh meat market. They have moved away. Hopefully,
that doesn't mean
they
won't be back, though.
Well, hopefully, Sean, we will win them back. I mean, that's what you. I mean, there's years of business and relationship. But the reality is also it's a fresh meat business, and if customers that we have, be they retailer or like Pat in across Europe that are food service, etc., they need the product and they will source it elsewhere. That has happened. The danger is as we continue now, that the longer it goes on, the more difficult it is. And when we get back, we're faced with less customers available to us and having to win those customers back.
And what is the level of output in the meat processing industry across the country at the moment?
To give you the best indication I can give you or put figures on it, normally, I mean, in normal times, we would probably be processing 35,000 cattle per week here. And that would have been the case in the weeks coming into this. Last week, we understand the figure was below 12,000. So that's the level of it.
It's a fall of 2/3, give or take.
It is certainly. And I suppose, unfortunately, last week was a week that progressed. You know, that there was perhaps more plants able to operate at the beginning of the week than at the end of the week. As we face into this week, looking at the number of plants that are affected and illegally blockaded, we're looking at probably even less than that being done in the country.
One of the things we heard from the farmers who were trying to persuade their colleagues to stand down the pickets was that there is such a level of distrust of the meat factories, and as evidence of that, they said, sure, look, you and others, you wouldn't go into the same room as the farmer representatives. You wouldn't meet them face to face over the weekend.
But that's the particular set of negotiations over the weekend, Sean, were designed in a bilateral to try and make progress. But let's be clear, Meat Industry Ireland and its members were there. Meat Industry Ireland was also present at the previous round of negotiations, sat at the round table with probably 21 or 2 representatives from the various farming unions, and did so for 40 hours. So there's no question about that of the industry not being willing to sit down. What we did achieve at the weekend was an agreement that was you know, signed up to, as we understood, from everybody. And one that has benefits in it for farmers. It has benefits in terms of changes on some of the specifications that were quite thorny issues and sensitive issues, increased bonuses, and also a lot of work in relation to the future.
But at the end of the day, it's not giving them a living. That's how they see it.
But I, at the end of the day also, we have a market, Sean. I mean, that's the issue also.
But if you don't have suppliers, you'll have nothing to sell into the market.
I absolutely understand that. But what we're doing now is really locking ourselves out of any market and doing further damage. Now, we need to build from here. There are many, many thousands of farmers with cattle to process now and want to get on and do that, and we'll have the benefit of what was discussed at the weekend,
and
as long as we get these blockades removed.
If you were to go back to the €4 per kilo price, are you saying that you wouldn't be able to find a market for that produce, despite the fact that Ireland has such a great reputation?
The price that we're paying today, and the price, I mean, in recent weeks has been, you know, on the middle category of animal, the benchmark, if you like, the R3 animal has been €360 per kilo, €3.60 per kilo. That is at the European average. You know, that is at the average of the prices paid across Europe, the markets that we are selling into. I mean, you have South American prices in Brazil as low as the equivalent of €2.20. You have prices around Europe that are lower than that. We are exporters. We're going into markets where they are not self-sufficient themselves in beef, and thankfully we have that opportunity to go into them.
But are they not prepared to pay a bit extra for quality?
Well, they are, and I think the fact that Ireland exports 90% of the beef it produces into markets right around Europe, markets where the domestic product will always be the sought after product. I mean, with the loyalty and patriotism to their own product, we're still going in there at a price level that is equivalent to the average of what's been paid. So there are wins in it. There is a perception, a good reputation of Irish beef there. But if we're not in the market now for the third week in a row, this is just going to do too much damage.
Of the legal actions at this stage.
Well, the legal actions were actions by individual companies. It's not Meat Industry Ireland. But in the context of the agreement that was reached at the weekend, those were also being addressed within that agreement to stand down those legal proceedings. We need this agreement to be triggered, if you like, and the triggering of that agreement is the removal of all the illegal blockades across all of the plants and try to get back to normal business before too much damage is done.
OK, Cormac Keighley, thank you for coming in, Director with Meat Industry Ireland. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.